you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Reading from Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73.
The priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, and the temple servants, along with certain of the people and the rest of the Israelites, settled in their own towns. That's Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 30th, 2024, the last Friday in the month. I guess we have one more day, but I'm a little mixed up because tonight we take back the night in prayer, and it's basically from midnight, so technically it's Saturday morning from basically 12:01 a.m. to 6 a.m. we'll be praying and gathering at our Springfield studio. You're all invited. It's going to be a special time of prayer, of worship, of resting in the Lord, of honoring him, praising him, and to get together and intercede on behalf of our community, our nation, and share different things, impressions that the Lord gives us as we read scripture and as we pray with an intentionality. Each hour we'll do something different. And so we have a handout that we're going to give to everyone that night. But if you want to pray along with us or be aware of what we're doing, contact the station, 217-367-7777, or call our Springfield station. That's where we're hosting it, 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois. And you can call 217-528-2300, 217-528-2300. And that was Tad Jagas reading for us this Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 73, and we'll be entering into chapter 8. But our whole room of friends, everyone's here, so it's great to have Tad back. He's missed a few of the past weeks, but all the friends are here, and we appreciate Pastor Jason facilitating our time.
So we're in Nehemiah chapter 8, but in order to begin chapter 8, let's just kind of review where we've been. Nehemiah, he was working for the king. He was a cupbearer, and he heard about the conditions of things in Jerusalem, and it broke his heart. And what's the first thing he did when his heart was broken when he heard the news?
He prayed.
Exactly. He prayed. That's the first thing he did. It said that he wept and he prayed before he did anything else. And then he prayed this prayer, and the prayer was essentially, if I was to paraphrase it, God, you're awesome. And I don't understand what's happening, and I don't even know what to do. But if it's your will for me to be a part of whatever it is you're doing, then please. And then we go to the next chapter, and what happens? There's this open door as he's in the court of the king. The king looks at him and goes, hey, what's going on with you? And he has an opportunity, and even there it says that he keeps pausing and praying, keeps waiting to see how God is going to lead through this situation.
And at that time, he looked a little discouraged and sad-hearted, and in the presence of the king, you don't do that, or you could be killed right away.
Totally. And so this was just a moment where God allowed this is crazy, right? God allowed his weakness to open a door for what God was going to do. Some of us believe that the only way that these doors are going to get open is if we appear strong. But Nehemiah in that moment allows his weakness to become his strength. And so miraculously, he's able to go back to Jerusalem. And the minute he gets there, what does he face?
Opposition
and persecution. And it starts very subtly, right? They just kind of jeer at him. But as the chapters go on, we see that persecution gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Because that's how the enemy works. He starts with just a little gossip, just a little jeering, just a little words of condemnation. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And one of the things we see is that opposition and that persecution doesn't stop, does it? It continues. And so what does Nehemiah do continually throughout all that happening?
Praise.
He prays.
And that jeering and such, it gets kind of tricky too. Oh, they befriend him. Oh, come on, let's meet. Oh, let's talk. We're friends. Let's get through this.
Yeah. And then miraculously, the walls which have laid waste and broken down for such a long time in 52 days are rebuilt.
Yes.
And not by people who were wall builders by profession, but by perfumers and jewelry makers and family members and all kinds of different people who had no business building walls. But that's because, as we said before, God was in the business of rebuilding his people. Mm. And if God can use a wall to rebuild his people, he will. God can use anything to do anything, and he loves to use the foolish things to confound the wise. And so the wall is rebuilt. 52 days could only have been done by God. And then we read last week just this long list of names, all the people who are coming back to Jerusalem. The walls are complete. Let's get together and have a party. Let's get together and worship the Lord. And it says in the last verse in 73 that Tad read, it says, so the priests and the Levites and the gatekeepers and the singers and some of the people, the temple servants and all of Israel lived in their towns. And when the seventh month had come, the people of Israel were in their towns. Why do you think we get that detail? The seventh month. Why is that important?
Complete.
Okay, it's complete. Yep, seven in the Bible is the number of completion. The walls are complete. The people are coming back. Worship is going to be able to begin. Anybody else know why?
I know that lines up with that holiday. I can't think of it.
It actually lines up with a bunch of feasts and festivals that were commanded in the Old Testament to be able to be observed by the people of Israel. And so you have a number of them. Yom Kippur, Sukkot. You have a bunch of these. And by the way, in Babylon, did they do the feasts and the festivals? No. Don't you remember? Only 2% of people coming back to Jerusalem. Largely, the people in Babylon are not living faithfully. They don't care about the feasts and festivals. They just want to live. They just want to work and raise their families. They don't care about God. They're willing to sell off pieces of who God is so that they can live prosperously in Babylon. I don't know anything about that today. Actually, it might have a whole lot of that going on today. Mm.
Yes.
But the fact that it's in the seventh month, just think about this. The wall has miraculously been rebuilt, and the people are coming back just in time to obediently do the things that God called them to do to celebrate who he is. By the way, as we read in chapter 8 and chapter 9, we're going to find out that they're going to begin to actually do some of those things that those feasts and festivals command them to do, to remember God's saving grace in the Exodus, to repent. That's what Yom Kippur is all about, repentance. It's 10 days of repentance. And so God has uniquely positioned this moment in time and Nehemiah and these people to begin to walk in obedience. But you can't walk in obedience until you begin to walk in the Word. Because you don't know what to be obedient to, do you? And what will ultimately, without God's Word, what we find is we'll just be obedient to our own desires, our own hearts, our own proclivities, the things that we want. And then we won't worship the God of the universe. We'll worship us as God. Which is why, as it ends there, we learn that it's the seventh month. It's this opportunity for the people of God to walk into in obedience. And then it says in Nehemiah chapter 8, and all the people gathered as one man. Anybody want to piece together chapter 7 with chapter 8 in terms of that phrase, one man? What did we have in chapter 7? A long list of what?
Names.
Names, exactly. All these people who are gathering together as one man, as one person with one heart and one mind to worship one thing. What's that one thing?
God.
God. It seems like such an easy answer, but listen, it's not, is it? Because people always want to worship all kinds of other things. And all the people gathered as one man. This is unity into the square before the water gate. So they all gathered. Can you imagine what this is like? 52 days, the walls have been rebuilt. Nehemiah keeps praying, and every time God keeps showing up, and he keeps pointing the people to God, and now they've come back, and they're gathered in this square as one person seeking one thing. And what did they do? This is how you know that God is at work. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel out. That's not a natural inclination. I've been in a lot of places, even Christian places, and people aren't like, just bring out the Bible. No. Listen, I've gotten together around tables with all kinds of Christians, and you know what they do? Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. Let's do whatever. These guys get together, and the first thing they say is, bring out the Bible.
And the fact that they're meeting as one man, that they're all together.
Yeah. They're all together, and what do they desire?
Hear the Word.
God. Yeah, God. And then because they want to know who God is, they need the word. See, if you truly desire to know who God is, then you will value his word, because that's what his word tells us about. It tells us about who he is, what he does, how he is, and how he has journeyed with that same character and integrity throughout all of history with his people. In fact, it tells us the beginning to the end. And so how much of our fears about the future, our uncertainty about what might happen, would be waylaid if we would just read the end of the Bible? In fact, Elmer, isn't that a plug for Bible Study Fellowship this year, studying the book of Revelation?
Amen. It sure is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know the end.
We know the end. Listen,
we win.
Imagine the kind of confidence you can move through uncertain waters that is basically life today if you have this confident expectation and understanding that we win. And listen, it's not even that we win. It's that God wins. And so ultimately, he is going to gather all people together, every tribe, nation, and tongue on one mountain to worship him as, in the future, one man. Just like what we see here. This amazing movement of unity. And these people, again, they have to be led by the Spirit of God here in some way, shape, or form, because it's not natural to just go, get out the Bible.
It's even less natural in verses 2 and 3. You read to them for 6 hours. And it ends with, the people listened attentively.
But read those verses for us, Tad. Read those verses for us.
So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women, and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon, as he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law.
Only God could do this.
Amen.
Because when it says all who could understand, that means the elderly, the infirmed, younger people, anybody who could understand words were there. And it doesn't say anywhere, and then they brought all the kids to the children's ministry. No. They all stayed and listened. They all stayed and listened. There's a power to that. You don't have to understand in order to listen. I remember when COVID was happening, we would get on Zoom as a family, an extended family, and we would read the Bible. That's all we did. We just read the Bible. We got on there for an hour together as a whole family. You know, we had all the little squares. We looked like the Brady Bunch. And in one square was some of the kids with my wife upstairs. The other square was me with some kids downstairs, grandmother and granddad, great-grandmother, all of them. And my son Samuel, he was, I think, like 5 or 6 at the time, 7 maybe, tops. He couldn't understand what was being read. But he would just listen intently as his great-grandfather read the Bible. And we still talk today. He talks about what a gift it was, because granddad has gone on to be with the Lord. He's no longer here. And his great memory is hearing him read the Bible. He didn't have to understand. He listened. He listened. What did he listen to? Faithful people talking about God. And as you said, Tad, this is amazing. First of all, Ezra's like, oh, awesome. Let me go get it. And then he brings it out before the assembly. And listen, both men and women. There's a mutuality here that I really love. There's a mutuality here. Listen, the strongest houses are built when mom and dad both love Jesus with all their heart, soul, and might.
Amen.
And so men and women both need to hear the Bible. It's not about one person being a superhero of the Bible in the house and the other one not. It's a mutuality. What I love about Elmer and Gail is that they both go to Bible Study Fellowship and they both wrestle what it means to follow Jesus. And you know that has to pour itself out in some way, shape, or form in their home. I love this. And then there's kids here. And all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. Again, there's that detail, the seventh month. Why? Because the feasts and the festivals were all about remembering who God is and what God did. And so twice now, between the end of the last chapter and this chapter in the beginning, we're reminded. This is the Bible telling us, this is important, this is important. Sometimes when I see things repeated in the Bible, you go, this should be something we should figure out why it keeps saying this. Well, it keeps saying this because this is the time that the feasts and the festivals were observed. This is their opportunity to begin to do that again. But they were not going to know what it is unless they read the Word of God.
Jason, another thing that's so important and amazing, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law.
Yeah.
They were captivated, or they were intentional on hearing and listening and focused. I mean, you can daydream or get distracted or whatever, but they listened attentively, which is just amazing. Maybe expectantly.
And this is the Old Testament, too. This is the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. And so these are the book of Numbers. I know a lot of people who are like, I kind of skipped that one. Leviticus, I know I don't. People usually are like, I don't know if I've really read Leviticus. It's really hard to read. Those books of the Bible are very. Genesis is largely engaging for a lot of people because it's very narrative. It tells stories. Stories of the lives of these people and stories of the lives of these people. And the Exodus begins that way too. But when you get to the end of the Exodus and all these details about how to construct the tabernacle and this cubits and that cubits, people are like, I'm just kind of getting lost here. And then you get into Numbers and Leviticus and people are like, I don't even know what's going on. Get back to Deuteronomy and you're like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
To that point, they're not reading like easy. This is not the book of John.
And it was 6 hours?
Yeah.
6 hours of listening.
Yeah. Wow. What we're going to find out later on is that this is what they were spending most of their time doing. They were listening to the Bible being read. They were eating. Then they were going to bed. They were listening to the book of the Bible being read again. That's amazing. In fact, I think, and I've read some stuff on this recently, that this is one of the things they say that has been lost in our Christian culture, is just people sitting and listening to the Bible being read. Listening to the Word of God. Here's an amazing thing. We've got one of these things in our house, the Echo Dot. Anybody got one of those things? It's like Siri or whatever that is. It's not Siri, though. What is it? Alexa. That's what it is. You know, and you can say, Alexa, what's the weather? And she goes, the weather in Muhammad is. And she tells you what the weather is. And she gives you notifications. She tells you what the weather's going to be. And she listens to all your conversations. So then when you talk about pet food, it shows up on all your social media. In fact, last weekend I happened to be at Purdue University. And so I was just talking for an hour about how amazing the university was. I drove around and got to see how amazing it was. And the next day my social media was all ads for Purdue University. I'm like, what's going on? But what people don't know is this. You can say, Alexa, read me the book of Philippians. And she goes, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, and begins to read you the book of Philippians. And so there's a way to take this thing, which I don't know if it's really that great, and use it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And she can read that to you, and we love just having her read the Bible to us. Because even while you're just, you know, washing dishes, doing all that, just hearing the Word of God, I just think it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll be like, wait, what did she just say? I don't think I've ever heard that before. You know, because God points things out to us. And so, as you said, it's just amazing. And he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early in the morning till midday in the presence of the men. And again, we get this detail repeated. Whenever something's repeated, we should think that's an exclamation point. It's the men, it's the women, it's anybody who can hear, anybody who can understand. And all of the ears of the people were attentive to this book of the law. What does Jesus say about our ears? Later in the Bible.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Let him hear. I'm pretty sure that these people had ears to hear in this moment. And what does Paul say about ears when he writes to Timothy? He says, people are going to, at some point, they're going to have ears that just need to be tickled by the next pretty voice. And here, these people, their ears are attentive to the words of God because they want to know who God is. You can't underscore what's happening in the first couple verses here, that these people desire what Jesus will later call the people back to, which is to have a desire to hear what God says. And even as we get into the book of Revelation, what does John writing to the churches say to each church? He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. Why? Because we need to be called back to listening, to hearing, and from that to knowing. And so that's what is happening here. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. Listen, it's a sacrifice to listen. It's a sacrifice to pause and to stop and to focus and to listen. It's not easy to do. In fact, they say that listening is one of the lost arts these days. And when we do listen, we simply listen to respond. We don't listen to really listen. And here, these people are listening to listen. And I think this is also powerful because for the last 52 days, these people have been working. They've been doing. And when you are in a season of doing, what's the hardest thing to do?
Stop.
Stop doing. And to stand and to listen and to be attentive. Everything that we see happening in these first bunches of verses should just cry out with a big exclamation point, God is doing something here, because none of this is natural to the human being. I just don't know if on Sunday morning people are going to roll into the church and they're going to be like, can you just read from the Bible? And everybody will just stand there attentive from the largest to the tallest to the smallest. I just don't know that that'll happen. Why? I think that we've lost this art of listening, of desiring to hear what God has to say.
Is it in James, Pastor Jason, that everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires?
Oh, those navigators.
But that's such a good one. Everyone should be quick to listen, and we have lost that art.
Yeah. And here we see it being reclaimed in the midst of God doing a great work in the midst of his people.
Well, I'm glad you stopped right
there. Elmer's got something to say.
I was just going to say, we served in the Peace Corps. During the Peace Corps, we had an opportunity to visit the Guambiana Indians in Colombia, South America. And we attended a service, a week-long revival. It was a revival. At the last day, one of the young people came forth with a 23rd Psalm. This was the first time anything has ever been written and spoken in their own language. And when she read this 23rd Psalm, it was absolute quiet in the church. Mm. Up till that time, they had many children. They were just going in and out and whatever the whole week. And this time, 15 minutes when she read that, it was absolute quiet. It was God. They were so eager to hear what God had to say in their own language.
Well, listening friend, we invite you to be eager to come before God in prayer tonight at midnight. Basically, we'll gather at 11:30, 11:45 at 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, at our WLUJ studios to take back the night with prayer. We'll meet with God. We'll praise God. We'll worship him. We'll intercede on behalf of our community. And we'll do what Nehemiah has often done throughout this book that we keep learning. He goes before God. He petitions God because God delights in answering prayer and accomplishing his will through people. So allow God to use you today as you pray to him, as you ask him to lead you to those that don't know the good news message of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and our room are great friends that are all here together with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.